Okay, today's reading comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 30, and it's page 1010 in your Bibles. That's Mark chapter 7, verse 1 to 30. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands? He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. You have not, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honour your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban, that is a gift devoted to God. When you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother, thus you nullify the words of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Again, Jesus called the crowds and said to him, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside the man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he had left the crowds and entered his house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters the man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. From what's written out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Thank you, Sandra, for reading that for us. Please do keep that open, page 1010. And you should also have a sheet which has got some fill-in-the-blanks if you want it. If you need a pen, we've put pens in the pockets on the backs of the armed chairs, have pockets on the backs, and we've put pens in there. So if you need a pen, do maybe nudge someone who's nearer the middle and they can grab a pen for you and pass it along. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you teach us, help us to have humble hearts before your word, ready to listen and to take in what you teach us. Amen. Genuine biblical faith is and always has been about our hearts. It has never been just about agreeing to certain truths or just about doing certain rituals or going to services. Genuine biblical faith has always been about the heart. God has always said, I don't just want a bit of you. I don't just want a bit of your time, a bit of your money. I want your heart. What is your heart? Biblically, it's not just the place of your emotions. That's what we think of when we think of heart. No, it is the core of who you are. It is you. It is what makes people who they truly are. Our verse for this year has been, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of the core of who you are. Jesus was all about the heart. But what we also see in the Bible, throughout the Bible, is that God's people consistently have a heart problem. The blue ring represents a heart problem, all right? Just go with me on that. We have a heart problem. God's people have a heart problem. The Pharisees and teachers of the law had a heart problem. They'd come to Jesus from Jerusalem. In other words, this is the official delegation. Come from Jerusalem to see Jesus and examine him, see what he's really like. Is he genuine? Is he a good teacher? And they spot something about Jesus and Jesus' followers. But Jesus then diagnoses their heart problem. And it's there in verse 6. Just look in on that. We'll come back to the beginning bit in a moment. But just cast your eyes down to verse 6. Jesus says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus is saying the Pharisees, teachers of the law, they honor God with their lips, but their hearts, the core of their being, is far from God. And he's saying this was true in Isaiah's day, it's true with the Pharisees and teachers of the law, and we need to realize this is a big danger for us too. As I've prepared this sermon, I've been so struck by the fact that actually this is not just a problem back then for Pharisees and teachers of the law, this is a problem that I've got. This is a problem I struggle with. This is a problem we struggle with. Emmanuel Church, this is something we struggle with. So we're going to see. What are the symptoms of a heart that's far from God? What's the truth about our hearts? And how can we have a clean heart? Those three things. So first, what are the symptoms of a heart far from God? Symptom number one. There are four of these, and you can see on your sheet, you can fill in the blanks as you go along if you want to. We focus more on the faults of others than on our own hearts. This struck me so strongly when I was preparing this. The Pharisees, they criticized Jesus' followers. What for? Did you notice? Verses 1 to 4. They noticed that Jesus' followers weren't washing their hands before they ate. Now, that wasn't a come on, weren't you brought up properly? Wash your hands before dinner. This is a ceremonial washing that they weren't doing. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law were saying, Jesus, why don't your followers do this? Why aren't they doing this? And yet Jesus is saying, look, you're good at spotting what others are doing wrong, although actually this isn't something that the Old Testament said that they had to do, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Jesus is saying, you're good at spotting what others are doing wrong, but your own hearts are far from God. In other words, you're good at spotting fault in others, but you're not good at examining your own heart. Now, be honest with yourself. Do we do the same thing? Do we focus more on the faults of others than on our own hearts? We can be a bit like workmen coming to work on your house. Have you ever noticed? This is something I've spotted over time. Have you ever noticed when you have someone come and sort out your boiler or something like that, they'll come along, and very rarely do they come along and look at what you've got and go, you know what, the person who installed this did an awesome job. They never do that, do they? They always go, what have they done? Look at the mess. I don't know why they've done that, why they've put that pipe there. And you go, well, it seems like everyone's rubbish apart from you on this. But then you know the next person's going to do exactly the same. But we do this, don't we? This is the state of our hearts, isn't it? We're good at spotting fault in others, where other people have failed us. But we're not very good at spotting it in ourselves, at examining our own. None of us will say, oh, I know, I'm perfect, it's just them. Oh, no, none of us do that. This is about our focus. What do we focus on? We focus on the faults of others, don't we? Husbands and wives. It's easy to spot the fault in your spouse, isn't it? In families, it's easy to spot the faults in your children or children in your parents. As a church family, it's easy to go away noticing the failings of others, what they didn't do. We're not good at turning the spotlight on our own hearts. First symptom of a heart far from God, we focus more on the faults of others than on our own hearts. Second symptom is that evil is out there. Evil is out there. The Pharisees and teachers of the law had come to this conclusion. Some of the Old Testament laws were about saying, don't eat certain foods, or don't do this or that, because then you will become unclean, because those other things are unclean. But therefore, it seems like the Pharisees and teachers of the law had come to the conclusion that uncleanness, evil, was out there. So don't eat those foods, don't do those things, don't associate with those people, because otherwise you become unclean. Now again, we can do that too. We can think, oh well, evil, uncleanness is out there. It's in the world out there. It's on the TV. It's people I could associate with. And therefore, as long as I seal myself off from it, it's a bit like the flu virus. As long as I stay at home, seal the windows, seal the doors, I won't get ill because it won't come in. It won't get me. It won't infect me. Evil is out there, we like to think. And we think that of our children too, that, well, if they do something wrong, it's probably the crowd they were hanging out with. If we spot evil in our own hearts, if we spot something going on inside us, we blame our past, we blame our parents, we blame our genes. It's out there. Third and fourth, we'll put these ones together. We hold on to the traditions of men and let go of the commands of God. Clearly, that's what these people were doing. Jesus says, verse 8, you've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. So there you go. You've got two things there, haven't you? You've got the commands of God and the traditions of men. And Jesus is saying, well, you should hold on to the commands of God, shouldn't you? Hold on to them and loosely with the traditions of men. Hold on to the word of God loosely with the traditions of men. Traditions aren't wrong. The Bible doesn't say traditions are always wrong. The problem comes when you do what the Pharisees do, which is to get it the wrong way round. So you grasp hold of the traditions of men and let go of the word of God. Jesus is saying that's what they were doing. That's what this thing, we don't have time to go into it, but that's this whole thing about Korban that they were doing. So it seems like what they were doing, Jesus is saying, is they got this tradition, which was if you said about your property, your possessions, your money, that it is korban, that is devoted to God, then you can't use it for anything else. You can't use it to support your parents, maybe, who are in need. And Jesus is saying, but the commands of God say, honour your father and mother. So Jesus is saying, look, here you go. Here's a tradition of men that you're holding on to, and you've let go of the word of God. Like I say, traditions aren't all bad. But the problem comes when we hold on to them. And we can easily do this. Why do we like doing this? It's because often they're things that we can do. We feel, yes, okay, I can do that. Whereas other things in the Word of God, we feel guilty that we can't do. These are things we can do. And so we grasp hold of them and we hold on to them. And we have a tendency to do this. We all do. With traditions of men. Maybe that's to do with a particular tradition in a church of style of music, whether that's modern or old. We have our preference. We go, we must have that. Or way we dress on Sundays, way the people up at front dress on Sundays. Or maybe it's the way you take communion, or a whole load of things where you go, actually, these are traditions. And some churches, frighteningly, are fairly blatant about doing this. They will say it's all about the tradition, and we don't particularly study the Bible, the Word of God. We don't encourage you to do that. And actually, there are things in there where we go, yeah, we don't go with that anymore. It's all about the traditions. But we can do it too, can't we? Hold on to our traditions, our way of doing things, and let go of the Word of God. And very often the command that we let go of is to love one another, because we don't end up loving the people who have different preferences. We want it our way. Well, now, as you see that, as you see the symptoms of a heart far from God, I don't know about you, but I find that very uncomfortable. We go, actually, this is a danger we all have, isn't it? Well, if you thought that was uncomfortable, the next bit gets worse. Because the next bit, the truth about our hearts, is so controversial. I would suggest that if this was taught in an assembly in some schools, if I went into schools and taught this, I would probably be banned from going in. That's how controversial this is. Let's see what this controversial... I don't think Jesus would be invited back to some schools around here. What is this controversial truth? It is the truth about our hearts. And what's the truth that Jesus says? You know when you do Google Maps? Jesus didn't talk about Google Maps. But you know, if on your computer, maybe you're not computer literate, let me just tell you. If you don't know where somewhere is, you can put it in on the computer, on Google Maps. And if your computer's a bit slow, like mine, you start off with the arrow on the screen, and then all of a sudden it reveals to you where that place is. And maybe you zoom out and you go, oh, okay, that's where it is. I didn't know that's where that place was. Okay, imagine if on your computer you put in evil as the destination. It'd be interesting to... I haven't tried it. I should have tried it before now. It would be interesting to see where Google Maps took you to. Maybe there is a place called evil somewhere in the world. Where would it go for genuine evil? Jesus reveals to us where it should go. Verse 18, he says, are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He's changing things there, by the way. He went on. Okay, this is where you find out where evil is. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Do you see? Jesus is saying, here's the uncomfortable truth. Evil is in here, is in my heart. That's the location of evil. Google Maps should zoom in on you and me into our hearts and say, that's where evil is. See, it's all very well us saying, well, I can spot the faults in other people and evil is out there. Jesus is saying evil is in here. It's in your heart. Notice carefully what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, every theft that happens is because the thief has a dodgy heart. Every murder that happens is because in the heart of the murderer they've got anger. This is what's so controversial. Because in schools, I was even told this last week, when doing the bit for the Christmas journey, it wasn't always John doing the last bit, I did it sometimes. But I was told one of the schools said last year, we don't want you to say that the children do bad things and say bad things, think bad things. We want you to say they make bad choices. Now, that's a bit subtle, isn't it? That's saying it's just that they made a bad choice at that moment. But Jesus is saying, well, now, hang on. Why did they make that bad choice? Why did that kid kick that other kid? Why did they pull their hair? Why did they make that bad choice? It's because of something going on in their heart. The root problem is their heart. The anger in their heart, the selfishness, the bitterness, the rage, that kind of stuff. It's in the heart. Remember, heart isn't just emotions. It's the core of your being. And furthermore, just to make this even more uncomfortable, remember what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, that when we lust after someone else, wanting to have sex with them outside marriage, then we've already committed adultery with them in our hearts. In our hearts. It's already there, even if you haven't done the act. And if you're angry with someone, you may not have murdered them physically, but you've got a murderer's heart. Now, do you see that bitterness and anger that we might have inside us? Oh, we're good at covering it up. We're good at sort of restraining it, but it's still there. And it comes out in various ways. So let these verses, examine your heart. Do you see yourself here? Verse 21. For within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Do you see them in your heart? Jesus is saying the problem is in me. Husbands, wives, your problem is in you. Do you know your greatest problem in your marriage is you? It's not your spouse. Your greatest problem in your family is you. Greatest problem that you have when it comes to Emmanuel Church is you. My greatest problem is me. It's my heart. Well, this is pretty depressing stuff, isn't it? But there is great news. Oh, you've got to go through this to get to the great news. You've got to go through the darkness of the tunnel to get to the glorious scene on the other side of the tunnel. You've got to go through this. The great news is this. The truth about our hearts is there's evil inside, and the first step to drawing near with God with our hearts is confession. Bringing our hearts to God and saying, look, this is where I am. I'm this bad. I'm worse than I think I am. And how do you get to a clean heart? There's only one way. Now, in Mark, we've skimmed through that passage very quickly. But in Mark, the next passage, which Sandra read for us, in verse 24 onwards, we then shift to someone very different. You've had the Pharisees and teachers of the law come to Jesus and making their assessment of Jesus, and Jesus has dealt with them harshly, sharply. Now you get this woman who comes to Jesus, who is completely different. Opposite end of the spectrum. She is a foreigner, not a Jew, and that is emphasized in the passage. She is not a Jew. So verse 26, the woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. And she's got a daughter who has an evil spirit. Now, everywhere you see evil spirit in Mark's gospel, it's literally an unclean spirit. She's got an unclean spirit. She's unclean. Her daughter is. And she is. They would have both been considered unclean by the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And Jesus deals with her very interestingly, which we don't have time to go into. But she begs for her daughter to be healed. And Jesus says, verse 27, first let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now that feels like a big insult, doesn't it? And everywhere I've read in the commentators, they don't give very much of an explanation of it other than to say, yeah, it does look harsh. Maybe he was just saying it like this to provoke a reaction, to provoke the reaction that he got. This would have been the way that Jews would have thought of non-Jews. But notice, will you, the way she reacts. She doesn't disagree with him. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And Jesus heals her daughter, casts out the demon from a distance. Now, do you notice there? I think she's put there as a contrast to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. She comes to Jesus humbly, saying, yeah, okay, I am a dog. Yep, that's me. That's the way we need to approach Jesus. With humble hearts. Say, yeah, no, evil is in here. My biggest problem is my heart. I've got the heart of a murderer, the heart of an adulterer, the heart that's full of bitterness and envy. That's my heart, Lord. And when we do, Jesus deals with us with love and compassion and washes us clean with the only thing that can wash an evil heart. What's the only thing that can wash an evil heart? It's the blood of Jesus. It's what he died for. In the book of Revelation, the judgment day is pictured, and it's a frightening, terrifying prospect. In Revelation chapter 7, there is a great crowd around Jesus that is pictured, a vast crowd of from every tribe and nation and language, a vast crowd. And they are dressed in white, and clearly these are the people who are going to be with the Lord, going to heaven, going to glory. How did they get white robes? Maybe they were particularly good. Maybe they're the people who don't have bad hearts, in which case I wouldn't be there. No, no. John is told who they are. He's told they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blood shouldn't make things white, should it? But here it does. You can have a heart close to God. You can come to God with your heart. You can love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But step number one is to confess to God. Bring your heart out in front of God. Say, this is what I am. This is what I'm like. Here's the evil in my heart. And Jesus then applies his blood, his death, to our hearts to wash us clean. So as we take communion, which we're about to do now, we begin with confession, bringing our unclean hearts to God. And then as we take communion, rejoice in Jesus' body broken and blood shed that washes us clean. And if you've never done this before, maybe you're not a Christian today, maybe you've never brought your heart before God, maybe you've been ashamed to do so, maybe you've covered it up by pointing always at the faults of others, blaming others, turn to Jesus today. In humility, confess your sin to Jesus and ask him to wash you clean. And if you're a Christian, this is something we need to rely on daily. Every day, we rely on the cross of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus. Praise you that he reveals what we are like, reveals our unclean hearts. Father, help us as we confess to you, to bring our hearts to you, to confess. And Lord, we pray, please, Father, would there be some today who would do this for the first time? Honestly, openly, bring their hearts to you. And would you wash us clean by the blood of Jesus? Amen.